Amen. And I am excited today. This is it's been a very unusual week for me. And so today I'm going to be sharing some things that is really important to me. And I don't know whether it will. I don't know what how you're going to receive it. But it's I'm teaching today more for me than I am for, and hoping you get something out of it. Through the years that I've studied the Word, this week it was like the Holy Spirit gave me a finality, if I can say it that way, to everything that I've ever studied. And it was when the Holy Spirit dropped it in me, it was like I could breathe. Like finally, I've reached this conclusion, and so it's probably going to be bigger to me than it is to you, but I'm going to share it. It started last week in some scripture that we talked about, and then just praying about that through the course of the week, the Lord dropped this into my heart. I'm going to give you the punchline first, and then we'll probably, if we have time, we'll get back to it, but I wanted to give you the punchline first so that you'd understand where I'm going. And this may not seem big to you, but it's huge to me, all right? So listen closely to this. When God speaks a word to the earth, at the moment it is spoken, it becomes operational and it's active all the way to its fulfillment. That is the biggest principle that God has ever shown me. When God speaks something to the earth and He dispenses that truth to the earth, it is at that moment operational and it's active all the way to its fulfillment. Amen. Now, that is in keeping with the character of God. Yeah. Here's where things get lost in us. A word given that becomes immediately operational and active unless we receive it, we are wandering lost. Yeah. Because it's operational at the point God drops it into the earth. Now, I'm going to say this part too. You and I have this tendency to be horizontal. We've talked about this a little bit. How many of you have ever heard of setting priorities? I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this. We have to prioritize. So I'm going to make a priority out of this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this. And so we have this horizontal plan. Now, the reason we do that is because we're in time. Okay, but God's out of time. He's not horizontal. He's vertical. Okay, so everything God does is in a moment. All of time is in the same moment with God. So here's the deal. We have a timeless book that we are interpreting by the concept of time. And it'll mess you up. You can't interpret it in time. Because this book is as timeless as the author is. So our understanding becomes veiled. How many of you are listening to me so far? We're talking about the sealed word from Revelation 5. This is where this began, is with the sealed book. It was a book in his right hand. And it was sealed with seven seals. Now watch this. This is what we talked about last week a little bit, and I'm going to give you a comparison of Scripture. This is so important. Please just follow along. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Now, everybody look at me. There's a huge difference between fulfillment an end. Two different terms. If you conflate those two terms, you'll lose the proper interpretation of Scripture. Fulfillment means completion. End means stopping. And trace it back, that's the definitions in the Hebrew, in the Greek, and in the English. Fulfillment means completion. Something totally different than ending. I'll show you that in just a minute. But then the end is something that not only is completed, but it stops. Okay? So that's significant, especially when you have Jesus saying this on the cross. It is finished. What does that mean? It means it's fulfilled and it has ended. Significant. It produces a principle of interpretation called the last mention principle, indicating that you can take any topic and run it through the Scripture, and what is said about it at the last time is how you interpret it for us today. Otherwise, we would be offering a spotless lamb out here in the parking lot before we come into the house of God. We don't have to do that no more because Christ suffered once and for all. Ended. It ended something as it was fulfilled. So there's a difference between fulfillment and end. Here, Daniel shut up the words and sealed the book even to the time of the end. Now here's the thing. Watch this. Here's the question. This is what's always perplexed me. These things like this is always just, I can't get them out of my mind. And it's, if you want to know the truth about why I'm so forgetful, this, I'm fixing to tell you why. Okay? Why would God speak something 2,500 years before it is to really happen? Daniel, I'm going to give you this word, but shut the words up. Seal them. Okay, what's going on? Watch. When God drops a word into the earth, it is already operational. It's already active, whether we see it or whether we don't. God allows us to see what has already been in operation at the proper time that He wants us to see it. Make sense? When God does that, He puts benchmarks so that we can mark when this is. Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. When's the end? Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. There has never been a time where we have the kind of technology that we have today. Did you know that? Now, you go back to the 1800s. And I have books written in the 1800s. I've read, matter of fact, in our living room in the top, I have books called the Pulpit Commentary, but it's not the new edition. It's the edition I got from my grandfather, and these books date back to the early 1900s. I have a couple books from F.W. Meyer, other writers that was written in the 1800s. Watch, their interpretation of some scripture was wrong. Do you know why? Because they were interpreting something that was already operational and active but had not yet been fully revealed to them at the time. In other words, there was no way that you could interpret some end times thinking without Israel being a nation. And they didn't become a nation till 1948. But the word was still operational. It was still active. Are you with me so far? So you have a sealed book. When God drops a truth into you as an individual, sometimes He will drop a word into your spirit and it's still sealed from your eyes. He's doing things in your... How many, How many of us ever prayed this prayer? God, what are you doing in my life? Has anyone ever? I'll tell you what he's doing. He has dropped a word into you as an individual that you cannot yet see. It's sealed. You with me? Listen to this. And I got these verses. I'm going to tell you. I was so excited in all of this. I'm driving down the road and I made a note or two, and then I come home and I made a note or two, and then I put these slides together and I got some verses out of sequence, but bear with me. Isaiah 29, 11 and 12. You with me? And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that's sealed. I've spent years preaching and people looking at me and grinning and they have no clue what you're talking about. And you can explain and explain and explain and they will agree with you, but they've got a different definition than what you said. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that's sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, highly intellectual, intelligent, and they say, read this, I pray, and he says, I cannot, for it's sealed. Intelligence is not the prerequisite for understanding Scripture. I'll never forget this in my lifetime. I will never forget this. I was standing in a courtroom. I had to be there because as a pastor. And this lawyer was standing there. And we started a conversation. And we were talking about Scripture. And I quoted a verse of Scripture to him that was relevant to what was happening. And he had absolutely no idea at all. And I thought, you're a lawyer? I mean, listen, he was acting like he was a kindergartner. And I'm thinking, this is not hard. This is not hard to understand. This is what the Word says. He couldn't see it. It was sealed. His intelligence was irrelevant to a timeless book that was delivering timeless truth. Now watch this. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this. And he says, I'm not learned. So we also have an obligation and a duty to understand the Word of God. Everybody say amen. Amen. Here's the conclusion of this matter so far. Matter of fact, I want to do this first. This is the rest of Daniel 12. This is where I got it out of sequence. But bear with me because I want you to get all of this. And I heard, this is the sealed words, okay? And I heard, but I understood not. This is Daniel, okay? How many of you believe God used Daniel? Watch. In our time today here in 2023, Daniel's probably one of the most significant authors you will read from in the Bible. Because everything Daniel wrote was for us. It's for this time of the end where people will run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. That's why Daniel said this. Daniel said, I don't understand this word that God gave me. I'm writing it down, but I have no understanding of it. Y'all following me? So he says, I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So you can see that God does this. Are you with me? Let me tell you one thing that God did for Daniel that he didn't understand. Here's what, and Daniel wrote it. Daniel said, okay, from the going forth of this commandment until the rebuilding of the walls will be 49 years. He said, then another 483 years and Messiah will be rejected. Can I tell you that prophecy was fulfilled to the day? If we could check it, I bet you it would be fulfilled. If you go to the Jewish calendar, it was exactly the exact day because it marks it in Scripture. On this day in this month, that this was given, and to the day Daniel's prophecies were fulfilled. Okay? From the going forth of the commandment to the rebuilding of the walls, from the rebuilding of the walls to Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and being rejected, it was exactly as Daniel put it. He had no understanding of it, but he still wrote it down. Why? Because God said it. This marks the end. Are y'all with me? Okay, let's hurry here. We talked about the end or fulfillment of prophecy. Here's where we start getting into stuff that's significant. Being fulfilled means to be complete. The end of something indicates it is finished and it stops. Okay? I'm building around something, so bear with me. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Did y'all hear that? Let's just focus for a second on what that means. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's words shall not pass away. How many of you believe the word is eternal? Do you know what that means? It has no end. Okay, now watch. If it has no end, it has no beginning. It's significant what we're saying here. Though the word of God can bring fulfillment, it has no end. Galatians 4:4, here's just an indication. But when the fullness of time, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman, made under the law. Still building on something. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So the term fullness is used in Scripture, the term end is used in Scripture, and there is some significance to that and a relationship between that and the Word of God never passing away. I'm going to call your attention now to this term dispensation and tell you what it means, because it's significant and it's important. It's been misdefined in many ways. A dispensation is not a period of time. Why? Because the book has no time. Hello? It's written by a God that is outside of our time domain. In another dimension. Timeless, the eternal God. So dispensation has nothing to do necessarily with time. It has everything to do with something being dispensed. In the military, we went to the dispensary, where they give things out. So God says there is a dispensation here. Something is going to be dispensed in the fullness of time. In other words, watch. Jesus was born at the very second that God ordained from heaven. Not 1 second late, not 1 second early. Therefore, you being alive now has significance to now. For such a time as this, you're alive. Don't belabor in your mind, as I have at times. Oh, I wish. Listen, I was watching this. I gotta run this rabbit trail on, but keep me focused. We watched a little clip of Sheffy, the movie Sheffy, that has a couple of friends of mine in it I told you about. And I was watching Walter Burrell preach the camp meeting message on that movie. And I was thinking, dear Lord, I would have loved to have lived in that day and rode the circuit and preached in the camp meetings. I would have loved that. But for such a time as this, God ordained for me to be here in that fullness of time. All right, here's the the big deal. I've give you foundation. I'm going to put this word up, and then I'm going to share with you some things about it, and maybe I'll show you why it's so significant. When a word from the eternal God is given to the earth, it is active and in operation from that time until its completion. Though it may be sealed from us, the word is still active. That's why he speaks it when he does. He's not a second late. He's not a second early. In the fullness of God's vertical look at time, he does things exactly when he wants to do it. You with me? And when he drops a word, at that moment it is operational. At that moment it is active. Though you may not understand it, that's irrelevant to God's perspective. God says, trust me. Though it may seem to be delayed, that word is already at work. Amen. That is the most significant statement. That's the statement I've been chasing after for 53 years. And it's been veiled to me because I was so stuck in time, even though I've preached about time and knew you're not supposed to be stuck in time, you got to be out of time. But when the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, it was like, okay, the entire book just opened up. Things that I were taught not necessarily are real. Things that I thought weren't real has to be. The understanding of this comes as we look at this through the dimension of the eternal. You have to have an eternal dimension. How many of you follow me so far? Okay, we're gonna quickly go. I want you to listen to this. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith. All right, now we begin to connect some elements to an interpretive principle that if you embrace in your life, you will never be shaken by circumstances on the earth. You will never be shaken by a problem you may have. You will never be tore up about some circumstance you're facing if we connect these things together. When God speaks a word, it's immediately operational. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the Word of God. Did y'all see that? So God then spoke His Word and the earth was. Two stars didn't collide up in the earth's atmosphere. That's not how it happened. God spoke it. As a matter of fact, you can say, and you get all these people who wants to justify everything and try to make, somehow they want to make Christianity or the Bible respectable among society. You can't do it because you're trying to make it respectable to people that it's been sealed from. No need to try to prove it. Just believe it. It's through faith that, listen, if two stars collided and it formed the earth, you know what the book would have said? God spoke and two stars collided. Hello. So through faith, we understand that it's the power of the Word of God that framed the world. Not just our world, but the world's. God spoke it. Now watch this. This is the... At the moment he spoke it, it was. And because he spoke it, and it was, it means he's still speaking it, and it is, or it would not be. You see, now you're stuck. Can I tell you that if you agree with what I just said, you are doctrinally stuck. You are so stuck, you've never been this stuck as you're stuck right now. Because watch, if you agree with a principle and it's true from Genesis all the way to Revelation, then you have to interpret it the same way all the way through. If God ever spoke it, he's still speaking it. If God ever did it, he's still doing it. Do you realize how big that is? And the moment he spoke it, it becomes operational and active all the way to its fulfillment. You following me? So the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, watch this. The creative words of God that created all things are still at work today, speaking the creation into existence. This indicates that God's word carries the same characteristics as God himself. John caught on to that when he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You with me? What was spoken was, is, and always will be. What is spoken always was spoken. That's the conclusion of the matter. This is the practical side. And I know this, I know it's more for me than it is for you. But what was spoken was, is, and always will be. Can we just stop there? Jesus said, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. I am the one that was, is, and is to come." What was spoken was. That's out of time. We can't conceive because we're horizontal and we're looking at time. If you go out of time, whatever was spoken was, and it is, and it always will be. What is spoken, anything dispensed beyond what was, lies on what was, and then becomes always was. I know what I just said to you is right. Okay? But it's hard to grasp. I get that. We'll carry on here just quickly. Matthew 5:17. It's what Jesus said. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy or to put an end, but to fulfill." How many of you believe we live in grace? But it doesn't mean the law ended. See, here's the difference between fulfillment and end. Everybody say, "I'm listening," right quick. The law of God condemns, because you can't keep it. You are a violator of the law of God. And the law of God is so holy that the law says this: if you violate in one point, you've broken all of it. All of it. That's in the eternal word. That's part of what God dropped. So watch this. Listen to this. You're an adulterer. Every one of you. Before you point your finger at somebody else, be careful. You're a thief. You have violated every point of God's holiness. But watch this, there's good news. In Christ, there is the fulfillment of the law. In Christ, the law is fulfilled. But to those who have not received Christ, the law is still in effect, because what was spoken is still being spoken. God didn't all of a sudden decide, "I'm not going to be holy anymore." He gives grace and mercy. But if you don't receive that, you're still under law. That's why Paul writes the whole book of Galatians. If you fall from grace, if you wander from grace, all that's left is law, Paul said. Are y'all with me? So the difference between fulfillment and end. The law is completed in Christ as well as those who are in Christ, but to those who reject Christ, the law is still in effect. I'm bringing us back to Revelation here real quickly, but watch this. The means, when God dispenses truth, it is layered upon truth. Truth never dies, but it lives forever. It is not done away with. It is because it was. Now, you traditionally, most of you traditionally, and I'm especially talking to those who honestly are a little older and who are serious students of the Bible, okay? You understand this term, Pastor. I know you will understand these. Systematic theology. Okay, and what that's a phrase that basically says this: we make a study of God. I know that. Don't you realize God is super impressed that we have decided to make a study out of God? But that's what systematic theology, kind of what it is. It's taking the Word, and it's taking God and placing it into an understandable system. That's what systematic theology is designed to do. There's all kinds of different systematic theologies out there. There is covenant theology. There is dispensational theology. There's all kinds of different theologies or systems of study. I was raised, and most of you were raised, in the dispensational system of theological interpretation. Okay? And what a dispensational thinking in just a broad view states is that God dealt differently at different times with people. Okay, he dealt this way under the dispensation or age of innocence. He dealt this way under the dispensation or age of human government. He dealt this way under the age of the law. He deals this way under the age of grace. This way under the age of the kingdom. And then you've got some that puts in a systematic type theology that there is no kingdom but in the heart. Yeah, that there's never going to be it. There's a system of study out there. As a matter of fact, it is, I probably dare say, among Protestant believers, this is now the mainstream. You and I are in the minority. The mainstream thought is there's never going to be a kingdom on the earth, a literal kingdom. The kingdom is all about the heart. And that things are just going to somehow get better and better and better, and everybody's going to become Christianized to the point that we're going to slip into a spiritual utopia, and then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That is the mainstream and the mainline thinking. We think that our world revolves around what we know and what we think. It doesn't. Okay? Most of us come from a traditional line of dispensational thought. Now, watch this. Here's where I veer away from dispensational thought. When God speaks a word to the earth, it is operational, it is active from the time He spoke it all the way to the time it's fulfilled, whether you see it or I see it or not. So you can understand that this statement has radically changed in every way my perspective of the Word of God, yet not so much my understanding. Here's what caused me to start thinking that way. Did you know that most people believe that the book of Revelation, I'm going to start wrapping up because we're going to have to build on this, as you can tell. There's a lot of people who think that the book of the Revelation that we're teaching is historical. It's already been fulfilled. Now, do they have some kind of case to make? Is there a biblical case to make? The answer is partly yes. For example, Jesus said this in Matthew 24. He said, they're going to destroy this temple. He gave this prophecy as well. Not one stone will rest upon another. Titus came into Jerusalem in AD 70, destroyed the temple, and his decree was, don't let one stone be left on another. Well, sounds like that was fulfilled then, doesn't it? If you go back through the book of Revelation and you read all of the seals and the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments and the three woes, is there historical things that you can point to and say, yes, here's where it was fulfilled. Here's where it was fulfilled. Here's where it was fulfilled. Here's what you can say. You can point to all of those things and say, there's the process of fulfillment. But you see, there's a benchmark that everybody forgets. And I'm taking this principle. I could take that principle I showed you about the word dropped, okay, and it changes a lot of doctrinal things. And what I'm mainly concerned with now is this time of the end. Because here's the thing, watch. What was previously sealed before man's eyes is now being opened. And it's being opened before your eyes. And some of you are still not recognizing it. And here's my passion. It's no longer sealed. There's no reason why you can't get it. Isaiah tells us why. The scripture I read to you in Isaiah, it tells us why you're not seeing it. See, watch. He went to those that were learned, and they said, can't understand it. The book's sealed. Can't get to it. He went to those that was unlearned, and they said, the book's open, but we're unlearned. And you know what they were saying? We're ignorant. I wrote an article one time about the difference between ignorance and stupid. Did you know there's no sin in being ignorant? I'm looking at y'all. Has there ever been a more ignorant person than Joey Gray? The boy's completely ignorant. But there's nothing wrong with being ignorant. Ignorant just means you don't know. Stupid is different. Stupid is when you have all the right information and you come to the wrong conclusion anyway. That's stupid. And unfortunately, we're living in a stupid time. And I'm not talking about the world around us. Listen, the world around us, they're acting exactly like they're supposed to. I mean, yeah, it's shocking that we have all this stuff going on in the social, political realm with all the social issues. It can be shocking, and it is, and it's all that. But can I tell you, without Christ, that's what it looks like. And the law will judge that. It won't be the Supreme Court, though. It'll be God's law. He's going to judge that. And there's consequences to that. And guess where those consequences land? On the same planet you live on. And as your country devolves, it'll land on the country you live on. And as your community devolves, it'll land on the community that you live on. Do you know why? Because the same word that God spoke in the Old Testament was operational at that moment, and it's still active today. There is a reason why God said, if my people which are called my name alone with themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin. That's a great thing. But he doesn't stop right. He said, and then heal their land. Okay? Now watch this. You know what that means? The word of God affects the land as well as the people that live on it. So when God made a covenant with Abraham, and then he later bordered and outlined all of the land of Israel, and he gave to them the land of Israel, whether man receives it or not, or whether the Jews inhabited that land or not, that word is still operational, still active. See how that changes things? It changes even the political domain. Had that principle have been in the minds of people, then they would not have interpreted Scripture the way they did just because the Jews wasn't inhabiting the land. In God's perspective, they were already there. God already knew about 1948 in 1910. Right? So, here's what I'm saying. All of those judgments that are in the book of Revelation, was spoken around AD 90. Some would argue. Some say it's a 30-year span between AD 66 and AD 96. Okay, that John wrote the book of the Revelation. Guess what? Since that moment, the book of the Revelation has been operational and active on the earth all the way to its fulfillment. So we're living in the process of the seals, the trumpets, the bowls, the three woes. That's why Paul said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Most people's waiting on the first seal to be open so the Antichrist can ride. It was open when it was spoken, because it's God's word. It's timeless. It's been operational and active since the moment it was dropped in. Everybody say amen. Now you say, well, what does that do about the pre-tribulation rapture? Doesn't change a thing. See, for you and I, the fulfillment of all of that is when the trump sounds and Jesus comes in the middle of the air and we rise up. What I'm telling you is those things are operating. That's why there was a Hitler. Adolf Hitler was Satan's spawn of the Antichrist. He was the person of the Antichrist Satan had, because Satan is under the idea that Jesus could come back at any moment, and he don't know when. He has to be ready. Hello? And all of the things that follow the Antichrist has been unfolded since the spirit of the Antichrist has been here. And guess when that happened? Acts 1. Right at the fullness of time. So you've got these benchmarks. Here's what I want you to know, okay, for now. When God speaks a word to your life, it is operational, it is active, the moment He speaks it, whether you see it or not. You can say, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't do away with hell. You can say, I don't believe in heaven. It doesn't do away with heaven. You can say, I don't think you have to go to church to be right with God. You can say that, but it don't change what the Word of God says. I mean, that's a big thing now. People are saying, well, you don't have to go to church to be right with God. Yes, you do. Do you know what I say? Yes, you do. You know why? Not because I said it, but it's because what God said. It's been operational ever since. Things don't change because the times change. The times change because God spoke something into existence, and it's been at work since before you were ever born. That's why I said this. I chose you in Christ before the worlds were framed. How can He do that? Because what He is speaking, He's always been speaking. I showed you the law continues. I'll say this one thing here. Grace was before grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because God spoke grace. He's always been speaking it. How many of you heard what I said? We'll build on that next week. Father, bless your word and bless it to our hearts. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.